It's hump day replay.
Hump day replay.
Yeah. Get this in hump day replay.
My favourite day of the week.
Oh, right. Georgie boy.
He's done it again.
Hump day replay.
It's hump day replay. Georgie boy here. Back with Mason and Jess once again. Hello, guys.
What's happening?
And we've got filmmaker, photographer, director, and official Gronk of the Daily Talk Show, Hayden Dibb.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Oh, not much, not much. Just, you know, classic ISO day, doing nothing.
How's your new place? You just moved house?
Yeah, just moved house. I moved house like the first week of this like 6 week stage four lockdown, mm-hmm. Which is quite interesting. Moving stuff around while there was like no one on the streets. But we actually, the house has come together pretty quickly and we're pretty much all settled in now. So,
Did you have removalists and stuff?
No, because I didn't have that much stuff. I'm quite a bit of a minimalist. I didn't have a lot.
I can see your bedroom and I can see you got the festival lanyards behind you.
Yeah, festival lanyards.
That's it. That's a classic.
And yeah, like what, okay. One pillow? What is that?
No. It's just like a whole bunch of my like stuff is like a blanket and stuff just shoved up against the thing. I don't make my bed.
Soundproof.
Who makes their bed? What's the point?
Do you really not make your bed?
I do like a really rough make, and then I'm just like, I'm going to get into it at some point during the day. So what's the point?
Well, I mean, what I appreciate not only about you not making your bed, Dib, but Jess, I mean, that throw across your bed is great. That's like every time we're on Zoom, it's always made. The throw's always across it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just – do you spend time laying it out like that, or is it literally just –
No, you just grab
across.
The corner, you just run it across, and then it just falls like that. It's stunning,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it? Sometimes
very
it flows
estate.
Better than others, but yeah, like it's a little bit wider today.
Do you use it during the night, or do you take it off your bed when you sleep?
When it's cold, I do. I'll chuck it over the top and just have an extra layer. But generally, if I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, my house is really cold, so I'll take it out there.
So why don't you just leave that on the couch then?
Nah, because it looks good on the bed and I like the couch to just be my three pillows and that's it.
I mean, this doesn't sound to be mean, but who else has been in your bedroom in the past, like, 6 months? Like, no one's really looking at it except for,
just
you know,
really
people on the podcast.
My sex life out, so thanks for that, Haydos.
That's all right.
Well, that's the pushback with multiple cushions, right? Like, if you've got four pillows on your bed, who's sleeping with four pillows?
Oh, we saw it. We had a
you have six.
A Zoom tour of Josh's bedroom the other day, and he's. Mm. I reckon Josh and Bree they've got at least six pillows on their bed.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all.
Are you a one pillow guy, Dib?
No, I sleep with two pillows, but like,
okay,
I stacked them on top of each other.
Do you sleep in the middle?
It depends. Sometimes I'm on one side. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Didn't you just buy it, Mace? Did you buy a weighted blanket this week?
Yeah. It's coming in the next 2 days. Grace always wanted a weighted blanket, so we found a discount code and we went and bought one for a queen size bed. So it's 12 kg.
Does that fit on your single bed though? Like,
no, we've got a queen. It's all good. But the it's a 12 kg blanket and it's the charcoal color. So it's I'm actually very excited. Like it's gonna be
interesting.
My sister's
got one. She loves it. She absolutely loves
really?
It. I think hers is like 5 though. Like 12 seems heavy as.
What's the point of a weighted blanket?
Well, I find it funny that Mace is getting one and Grace because like you've got each other to snuggle. Like usually they're for like the singles or the people that are sleeping alone. To feel like you're kind of getting a hug.
Yeah, for anxiety, isn't that the whole go?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah, it's meant to help with sleep and also there's the anxiety part of it. But I get too hot in bed with any, like I can only have the duvet, nothing else. And so like last night we slept with the window open. I had the duvet and then like half
we
the
don't
duvet.
Mention it.
Don't mention it. I had half the duvet and then Grace had like, you know, two blankets on top.
Yeah, right.
I'm shook that you had the window open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to be doing this blanket, what? Just so you know.
Oh, really? Wait, what did you say?
I don't think Mace is going to enjoy the blanket.
Really?
If that's the way he sleeps.
We'll see.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to cuddle up with.
Yeah.
other than your girlfriend, but you know,
yeah,
you got a weighted blanket on the way, so
you need one of those big pregnancy pillows. Get one of those big corner ones.
What about the ones that are like half of a body, like the arm?
Mm.
You can like snug on that. I bet you Jess has one of those tucked away.
Yeah.
Far out.
Hayden, can you tell us about how long you've been listening to the Daily Talk Show for and how you met the boys?
God, I have been listening to the podcast since probably mid-2018 when I was living in London. I found them through listening to Matt DiVella's podcast. I was listening to it one day and I was like, who are these guys? And then it actually turned out that I knew Tommy before that because of his O-Bike video and a few other connections that through the industry that we'd had together. And I'd actually emailed them probably around the same time Mace emailed them, except Mace got the job because I was like, I didn't say I'd work for free, basically. So I've known them for a couple of years and been listening since mid-2018, since I was in London.
Yeah, great. I feel like I've never actually told the story about how I met them, so maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
How did you find them?
I knew of Josh from his old podcast, Josh Speaking, and I'd heard him a few times on the radio, when he appeared on Hamish and Andy, and you know, Fifi and Jules and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And when I moved to Melbourne in 2016, I emailed Josh, and just said basically I'm new to town. Looking to make connections and that sort of thing. I sent him my resume and I said, oh, by the way, I like your stuff. I was actually heaps embarrassed to admit that I'd listened to Josh Speaking, which now knowing Josh, that's the dumbest thing because he would have just loved to hear that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And we got a coffee. He emailed me back. He's like, yeah, do you want to get a coffee the next day? And then we caught up, we had a coffee and we had a chat and stuff. And then he was like, so how did you know of me? And I was like, oh, I mean, I actually liked your interview with Ryan Shelton on your early podcast, Josh Speaking, 4 years ago. And I think he loved that. But apparently, yeah, so that was in 2016 and he had never really done any work with anyone else. It was just Josh doing his full stack film thing. Mm-hmm. And so we did a bit of work together after that. And then they started the podcast in 2018,
I think.
Yeah. And, so I was listening from the start and then only just started properly working for them 6 months ago. But yeah. So
I remember the first time you were in the office and everyone was talking about you and I was like, who's this bloke? Who's Georgie boy?
Yeah, I did a bit of stuff with Josh and Tommy at 2017 and 18. And then when Josh went overseas, I guess I got another job and we kind of just didn't have to work together very much anymore and then just reconnected at the start of the year, which was nice. But
a lot of my first then I go, Georgie boy.
No, you go.
Put your hand up. Well, no, because my first couple of interactions with the boys, because they'd just bought the C200, which would have been around the same time I started this, would have been end of 2018.
Yeah, it would have been.
And I just remember I remember reaching out to him and I was like, hey, if you ever need a second camera or anything like that, just let me know because I own a C200. And then I remember the first two times I met Josh and Tommy. So Tommy picked up the C200 from me the first time. So I met Tommy and then Josh dropped it off to me. So I was like, I've met both of them in the space of 2 days for the first time. And then I was kind of in and out of the office and then I met Mace when you guys were still in Easy Street,
yeah.
So, yeah. And then it was just and then I got a tattoo. So that's fun.
We'll get to that. So just on the travel thing, you were in England when you heard of the boys and started listening to them. There's been a lot of travel talk this week and the last few weeks in particular, just because, you know, we're in isolation and travel is not looking likely for the next year or whatever, so I'll just play a little grab from that.
What's three tips to feel like you're in Europe when you're in lockdown?
Yeah, okay, that's good. Stay hydrated. Okay, okay.
Look at the three top apps that you're using and delete them for a week.
Oh.
Pay a euro every time you take a piss. Just have a little have a little box out the front of the toilet and just put a euro in. Do you know where you want to go? Good. For us, Tassie. I think Tassie will be the.
Oh, yeah. No, we actually want to go Tassie too.
Are you a road trip kind of gal?
Yeah, I love a road trip.
Okay.
Well, I like the Great Ocean Road every year.
Guys, would you say that I'm not just trying to impress Jess here? I am the Great Ocean Road guy.
We impressed Jess.
I'm so impressed.
What's been going on with your
Great Ocean Road Queen?
Really?
I mean, you do trips down there, what, like almost every year?
Yeah, every October, my friend and I used to go down. It just so happened that it was October every year that I think it was a spring vibe that we'd go down and, yeah, stay at the backpackers there and then get lit at the pub. And it was just like a tradition. It was so much fun.
I mean, I've said this to Grace. I don't see the appeal of backpackers.
No, there's none. I just don't.
Like,
well, no, it doesn't make sense in Australia. It's like if you're in a different country in a different city, it's a good way to like immerse yourself straight into a like backpacker culture. But if you're going to the Great Ocean Road, like stay somewhere like nice.
Yeah, get a little Airbnb.
That shit's expensive down there.
That's true.
Not with Rod.
So it's $30 an hour each, or
is that the other way?
$150 or something.
Yeah, right. That's pretty crazy. I mean, Dib, you've been posting on Instagram. I think I saw a photo of what Positano the other day you put up.
I miss Positano.
How great!
It's Positano.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I'll leave the pronunciation to you. But what's been going through your head with all the travel stuff?
Look, I actually think it's a nice time to kind of reflect on where you want to go, and you know, like moving forward, just not taking trips just because you kind of have to. Making a trip like mean something and count something, because I feel like a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm just gonna go to Bali, and like they go to Bali, they sit in a hotel all day, and they don't really travel like the right way. I don't know if there's a right or wrong way, but I feel like there is. So maybe, like, for me, I want to see a lot more of Australia. So hopefully when we're allowed to, I'll do a lot more domestic travel. And then
how would you do it? Get an RV?
I've always wanted to like drive a like a four-wheel drive around Australia and just like camp and find myself in like small towns everywhere and just take photos and stuff like that. So maybe that's how I'll do it. We'll see.
That would be sick. Mm. What about like backpackers? Were you a big backpacker over in Europe?
No, how long were you there for? I was there for just over 9 months. And I worked for Contiki, so I stayed in a lot of like hostels and stuff like that, and like some of them were
and stuff.
Nah, not really. Like we didn't get to like join the like every now and then we'd you know have a bit of fun, but most of the time we weren't with the groups. We were just kind of like off to the side, and then we'd step in for a night, and then we'd have to work the next day, so we couldn't get too rowdy. But they were pretty like some of the worst backpackers I'd seen was we went to it was in Lauterbrunnen in Switzerland, and it's like this small like chateau style like building, and the nightclub is called the Bunker, and you have to walk past the bathrooms to get to the like I'm talking like the showers and everything.
Oh,
literally, you could see the bar from one of the showers.
Oh, really?
It was rank. So all of us were like, there's no way I'm having a fucking shower.
Were people showering?
Oh, yeah. People were like, some people were going out, like going that night to have drinks, and some people were like not. So like you'd be walking down the stairs and then you'd see like guys and girls like walking back up with towels around them and stuff like that. So you'd be going in for a night out and they'd be going for a night in. Like it was – and all the rooms had bunk beds in them. It's like it was just classic hostel like – just debauchery. Like it was bad. We had to like scour. So on the other side of this like river that ran through the campsite, there was like an actual campsite with smaller cabins and people where they parked their RVs and tents and stuff. But there was like a really nice lodging on the other side of the campsite where like all the crew were like, we just like went for an hour walking around this whole campsite trying to find a better shower, and we ended up finding one. But we had to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning to go to this shower on the other side of this campsite. It was like a 20-minute walk. It was freezing fucking cold because we're in the middle of a fjord. And like, it's, but like at 5:30 in the morning, this place looked fucking like gorgeous. But yeah, we like went into this shower. Weren't even sure if we were allowed to be using this shower because it was a different, it wasn't owned by Contiki. But even like my bosses who were like, who worked at Contiki were like, yeah, I'm not fucking showering in this place. So we had to like head out to those other showers in the mornings.
Jeez, that is ridiculous. Yeah. Did you have to pay for the shower?
No. We just like, just went for it.
Yeah. I mean, Jess, your Instagram is full of travel photography, basically.
Yeah.
And
can I just say, I really appreciate that photo. That photo that went up on Hump Day Replay of you on a camel in Egypt was so great.
Thank you.
I'm looking at it now. I need to look at it.
It worked really well with that.
How was that experience? Did it hurt riding on that camel? Because I've heard that it, like, it actually hurts.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant. Seat wasn't great. And because it's such an awkward moving animal, it kind of like, you're just all over the shop. You're using your stomach muscles to try and like stay on. But I was telling you, George, about how it gets up and down. Yeah. So like it kind of like puts its front legs up to begin with, or maybe it's definitely its front, and then it pushes itself up and then it's back one, so then it goes all the way down. So it's kind of like you actually have to hold on to get on like up.
So when you compare it to a horse, like riding, have you ridden a horse before?
I have.
I feel like you would have. So what's the comparison like there?
Well, the horse, it's standing up when you get on, and it's kind of just like a jolt, like you're just up and down. Like the camel's got like these big four things that's like moving around.
What about getting off? Does it do the same thing, like kneel down on its front elbows or whatever?
Yeah, I feel like if you're not holding on properly, you'll definitely tumble forward. But the good thing about a camel is that it has a wide back. So, like, I got to stand up on it. There's another photo.
So many innuendos in this story.
There's photos of me standing up on it and kind of just, like, posing. So the guy that
Where are those photos? Why are we looking at this boring photo of you sitting on it? We want standing.
There's a video of me. Because I wanted to show you all of the camels in that photo.
And the pyramids. Heaps.
And pyramids, it was a good one with the pyramids, yeah. There's a video of me, which I found when I was finding that for you. This guy that was leading my camel was like, give me a phone. You should go for a run. I was like, oh, I don't really want to. It's okay. Like, I'm happy just kind of waddling along. He's like, nah, take it for a run. So I had to give him my phone, and then this camel just started bolting, and it's like, it doesn't even look like it's going that fast, but it felt fast at the time. I remember thinking, what the fuck am I doing? I'm on this weird ass camel and the person's not there with me anymore, like holding the rope. Anyway,
so they let the rope go and the camel just bolted?
Yeah,
no one was actually running.
I had the rope in my hand.
We can put it up on the hump day. We'll put it up on the hump day.
Just go. How about we just go only hump camel photos?
Good idea. I stood on its poor hump. How sad is that?
Yeah, I mean that's sort of like elephant vibes, isn't it? I feel like standing on them now is just similar to sitting on top of an elephant.
Josh tells that story about when he did a presentation at school. That went for like 45 minutes, and at the end of it, he showed a photo of him on an elephant in Thailand.
I spoke for 45, and I knew that I'd gone too far. I had a keynote presentation, and there was a point where I had a photo of me on an elephant from a holiday that I just went to Thailand, I was like, guys,
that was me.
This could be you. Live, dream big. You know, enjoy the next year, and maybe you might be doing something that's a little bit questionable in some sort of southeast country.
Like that's success.
That's great. That's what Jess needs to do now, is just show that photo at the end of every presentation you ever give. And this could be you.
This could be you if you go to Egypt.
Just on your social, your Instagram, Jess, you this week had this to say.
I like to see how many followers Jess is. Like, I want to sort of get a sense of like how much Jess has grown. And I see that the post that I did for her, that I crafted, has been taken down.
Oh, geez.
Really?
It has.
it sort of feels like you're sort of trying to remove history, or it's like you don't want to be associated with this. Or
just tell us, what's your thinking? Yeah. What is your thinking behind that?
So just so everyone else knows, I haven't posted since the 18th of August last year.
Which brings us to today. Mm-hmm. Today we're recording on the 18th of August, 2020. So it's been a whole year. What are you going to do? What's the plan?
Well, do you know what? What I was thinking was along the lines of what you were saying, Hayden, before, which I found really interesting. I wanted to get all of my travel photos. So when I first moved to London when I was 18, and then go through each of the different countries and start re-uploading, because Instagram and like smartphones and stuff weren't actually a thing when I was traveling initially. So that's how old I am. So I want to upload it, and all of my really good photos from when I did Europe the first time, they're not on my Instagram. So I was thinking I'd do that, but I don't know what's happened, but my photos, I think I've deleted them, which I'm really devastated about. So I've got, I was on the phone to Josh Facebook on the weekend. Oh, some are, but not all of them. See this weird looking thing. Hang on, let me get it up.
Is this a hard drive? Oh my God. So you've got,
so I had to strip it.
This is an internal hard drive from a laptop by the looks of it, or a computer.
This is the actual hard drive. But then I have this one, which was from an old computer that I have that's in a weird another case. But yeah, I think I've deleted them. I don't, unless I can get into these two things which aren't working, because I transferred them all off that onto another hard drive and they're not on that hard drive anymore. But I'm hoping they're still on one of those.
Oh, God.
Well, so anyway, I'm really devastated and my plans.
Bit of data recovery.
Yeah.
So is that what your Instagram's going to be, purely old travel photos?
Well, that was the plan. But I'm open to suggestions.
I mean, Dib, I feel like you're real great on Instagram. Like you've got your travel photos, you've got your food photos, real high qual. What do you reckon some suggestions would be for Jess?
What I think you should do is set up a little green screen somewhere in your house, and you recreate every place you ever went to, but on a green screen, and that becomes your thing on Instagram. And during ISO, you have like this travel series of you traveling during ISO from your bedroom.
That's a great idea.
Okay, because that would mean that I can redo the photos that I've lost.
Exactly. And
that's great.
You can make them look better now that it's in the future and the technology is better.
So funny.
So, okay, two issues there. One, where do I get a green screen from? And two, how do I get the background, me on the background?
You could just get it like a green piece of paper.
Yep.
That'll do. And you can just kind of blue tack it to your wall.
To a wall.
You get a massive one. And then set up a camera. Take a photo of yourself on the green, and then it's just a simple key. Just key out the green, put in your background. Very easy.
Okay. All right.
It'll look great. It'll look really pro.
Hey, Doss, I've got a few photos of you and I when we went out that night in London.
Oh, Were you guys in London together?
I found them the other day and I was like, fuck, I completely forgot that. Because you came, did you meet me at Pop Brixton? Was that where we hung out? Yeah.
I and remember that guy? That.
Which guy?
So there was this guy. So I lived in London straight out of high school for 2 years, and I worked at the London Eye, and so I made a whole bunch of friends there, and so weird. So when I met Haydos at Pop, this guy came up to me and he was like, Jess? And I was like, I looked at him.
He trimmed
up a bit. So I was like, I didn't really recognize him straight off the bat. And I was like, oh, my God. I forget his name. And remember, he was like, do you want to come back to mine? I was like,
oh yeah, he was like very forward straight away, and I was like,
really?
He gave me a backhanded compliment. He's like, oh, you've gotten better looking with age or something like that. So,
Didn't we end up going to that pub because it was around the same time that the World Cup was on, wasn't it?
Yeah, you came with my friend.
Yeah, yeah, and we finished the night singing. football's coming home. Oh. Like, oh, yeah. Dirty English pub. In where was it? It was.
We were getting like people throwing beers in the air. Like we were. I was filthy.
That would have been crazy.
It was so much fun
in England during the World Cup. And
it was.
They
pretty
got knocked
insane.
Out in like the semis or something. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
and they
it
make
was
it pretty
Croatia.
Far.
And that's Croatia. What we watched. It was just like the biggest match. Like everyone was going crazy because they thought they were going to make it.
I think that's where that meme comes from, isn't it? Wasn't that a British pub? You know how there's like the meme of like the huge crowd in the pub and the screen that they change out and then the crowd just goes crazy? I don't know. Probably not. I'm pretty sure that was England.
All I know that like during the World Cup, it was like the best time to be in England because it was like
so good.
Regardless of whether England lost or won, like it was the first time they'd like gotten that far in a long time. Mm. So just every single person was just like so excited and like every game was just like London was just lit up. It was like the best time to be in London.
God. It's like it feels like that seems so foreign now that you can just have packed pubs. Packed stadiums.
I just remember being like this, like tight. Like you'd be like smoking a cigarette and just be blowing it at someone else, like in the like inside a pub. It was fucking like it was insane.
Yeah, and then everyone like moved outside and they were like climbing the poles and everything.
Oh
my god!
Pubs were just like onto the street. Like cars couldn't get through pubs, like streets where the pubs are on the corner because there was that many people on the street.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
How hard was it to like buy beers and stuff? Did you have to?
It took forever. Actually, that's funny. The first when I was watching the semi-final game, the one that England lost, I was in the line to buy a beer, and when I was in the line, England scored their first goal, and I just remember like I think about four people in line who had just bought a beer lost their beer because they just like. Fucking lost it, and the beer just went up and down. I was just drenched in alcohol, and just like they'd scored a goal before I'd even had my first beer, and it was just like insanity. So it took forever to get alcohol during the World Cup because everyone was kept throwing their beer up, and you needed to get another one.
It seems like a waste of beer, doesn't it? And like fuck, cleaning that up like jugs,
real sticky floor.
Oh yeah,
sticky everything.
Yeah.
So, Hayden, you've said that if you weren't a photographer or a filmmaker, you'd be a chef.
Yes.
And you're always posting like great shots on Instagram. You've got you know, amazing food. So, I think it's time for a game.
Yeah.
I'd love to play a game.
All right. You're going to love this game. It's called Sounds of the Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And it's got its own opener.
Love it.
Sounds of the Kitchen. That was a shorter opener because I got a bit of feedback last week from Tony that my openers are too long.
So I think that was too short.
It again, please?
Can we hear the longer one?
Okay, sure.
Can we hear the longer one?
No, just play the short one again. Sounds of the kitchen.
So, Hayden, you've the tong clamps.
that was actually a knife.
That was knife sharpening. It was a knife sharpener.
And what else? Yeah, it was a knife sharpener, exactly.
Knife sharpener, yeah.
And the gas. Igniter. The game, it's very easy, really good game. I've made something, right?
Yep.
And I've recorded the sounds of the ingredients that go into whatever I've made.
Yeah.
So part one of the game is I'll play out an ingredient and me preparing it and you have to guess. You can all play.
Okay.
You can guess one by one what you think the ingredient is and then at the end, after you've guessed all the ingredients, you have to guess what I made.
You've made. Okay, great.
Okay. So, ready for sound number one?
Go for it.
Oh. That whoosh wasn't part of it, but it was just, you know.
I was like, what are you, playing Fruit Ninja in your kitchen?
Yes. It's a little bit distracting. Do you want to play it again?
Can we hear it one more time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. All right, ready?
I feel like you're cutting like lettuce or a cabbage or something like that.
I want to say an onion because of the crispiness at the start. That's its shell.
Oh, it might be the skin of an onion. So this
was my thing. It sounded like there was some sort of wrapping coming off it at the start and then the cut happened. And Jess, I think you're right because that sounds like you're taking the skin of the onion off.
Mm-hmm. It's a great guess and you're very close. It was actually crushing garlic.
Oh.
So unlucky. But
okay.
Yeah.
And then the chopping has thrown me with that because usually, like, I just use one of those things that, like,
microplanes. Yeah.
A
crusher.
Garlic crusher.
A microplane is like a, it's like a small.
A little.
Yeah.
A little grater thing.
Yeah. I just crushed it with the knife and then cut it up a little bit.
Real good. Right. Okay. Right. So
First one's garlic. Sound number two.
Onion. You're cutting onion.
Onion?
I feel like you're slowly making a pasta. So, because of your pasta maker and all your background with that, I feel like we're heading in that direction.
Okay, play it one more
time. Play it again. What does that sound like? Do you think that would be onion or?
What is? It's got great, like, it sounds like when you're coming back from cutting through the object, whatever you've cut through, the way back, the slice on the board is very prominent.
Is it carrots?
I'm going to say capsicum.
Capsicum?
Jess, you're very close. Oh. It was a chili, but it was a massive chili. It was so big. So I'll give you that one. That's Queen of food.
This is great. Okay, so you've done garlic and a big chili.
Yeah. All right, sound number three.
They all sound exactly the same. I'm just going to keep saying onion until I get it right.
Onion. Yeah, you've got it. That was onion.
Was that onion? Garlic,
was it?
All right.
Okay. Garlic, onion, and chili.
Yeah. The
is this the
really
last
well
ingredient?
So we're definitely making pasta.
There's five more.
There's five more?
Well, they're not all ingredients. They're actually cooking techniques as well, maybe.
Okay. Oh.
All right.
So cutting three times?
Five more.
Yeah, cutting. Three. All right.
Three cuts.
All right. Sound number four.
Oh, grating.
Grating something.
It's grating a carrot. Yeah.
You've got it. All right.
Sorry, I was a bit premature there.
Nah, we
well done.
It.
Well done.
All right, next one.
Sound number five.
Classic Jess. You're frying that garlic onion and chili.
Is in the pan with a bit of olive oil.
Ooh. You've absolutely nailed it, although there was bay leaves in there as well.
Okay.
How are we supposed to know that, George?
Well, here we go.
Silent thing.
But that's the great thing about the bay leaf clue. It means it's going to be... You might have given away because I reckon it's going to be a curry.
Okay,
it's a pasta sauce.
You don't put bay leaves in pasta sauce.
Yes, you do. You put them in a bolognese.
Do you?
Yep.
Who knows?
Okay, I thought I would do that with basil. I feel like bay leaves. Okay. Anyway, right.
Put basil at the end, mate.
Sound number six. Now listen carefully with this one, okay?
It's going to sound like cutting.
No. Now, do you want to hear it again?
Did you open a can of tomatoes?
No, not yet.
Yeah, just in the middle of all of this cooking, he's just doing bubble wrap.
Okay, let's hear it one more time.
Hear it again.
You're opening up minced meat.
You've nailed it. It was pork mince, to be exact.
Oh, shit. What is he making? Bolognese.
Is this guy?
I have a hunch, but
okay.
Should I reveal or no?
Yeah, reveal your hunch.
I'm gonna say it's chili beef or chili.
Or chili con carne.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's cool. Okay. Chili.
Let's see.
More of a Josh and Brie thing to make. But.
Yep. Okay. Next one.
All right. Down number seven.
Can of tomatoes.
Yep.
Yeah, that is the can of tomatoes. Great.
Great. And
Dib,
the final
you are
sound.
Great at this. Here we go.
You're really good. You're really good. Final sound.
Washing up?
So you're in the bathroom.
Did you put hot water in the can and then put it in the pan?
No, it is too...
I mean... Kind of. That was it. I'm just stirring it around. I poured the tomatoes in and I'm just stirring it with a bit of water.
Yeah, with a bit of
water. Okay. So I'm bloody impressed. Just give me 2 seconds so I can get the applause ready, but well done.
It is a pasta?
You absolutely nailed it. What's your final guess, Dib?
It's a bolognese.
Yeah.
A pork bolognese.
He's got
it. He's got it.
That's solid. I mean,
definitely not halal, but I approve.
What do you think about the game? Should it be a weekly thing or?
I think you need to be a lot more specific with the sounds because like five of them sounded like cutting. Like I don't think garlic being cut is a specific sound.
Sounds of the kitchen. Hayden, you do you direct much fiction or is it mainly just documentaries and that sort of thing?
At the moment, it's a lot of like music live sessions. Haven't done a lot of like narrative work, but a lot of it's just like trying to get a crew organized for a live stream. And the live streams we've been doing with Baked over the past like 6 months have been on quite a large scale. So they've required like one of them had a choir, and then we had like it was like eight choir. We got a music director.
I watched that one, the Tyne one.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
The setup was really so good. That.
Yeah.
How'd you get the lighting coming through the windows like that? Just blast them?
No,
that was natural light.
That was timing. That was natural light. So we just had, knew my DP on the day, Matt, he kind of knew what time he wanted to be shooting. So we stuck to a timeline because he knew just based on where the clouds were and where the sun was in the sky that we were going to get an hour and 40 minutes of light coming through those windows. It was probably going to vary, but we just made sure that we were ready to go when that light was pumping through those windows. So
far out.
It looks great. I mean, as far as like pre-production and screenwriting and that sort of thing goes, Josh has been super interested in screenwriting this last couple of weeks. So here's a little compilation of the times he's talked about it.
I was doing that masterclass on screenwriting, the screenwriting masterclass on screenwriting, and having watched the masterclass and just seeing people have a crack, and the guy who takes it, Aaron Sorkin. The thing with Aaron Sorkin's writing, they're very dialogue heavy. Dialogue, 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 dialogue. So it's all like, it's called drafts. It has changed my life this weekend. I've got a mechanical keyboard.
The sound of it is the selling point. Tactile keys, they sound fucking annoying and you sound like the exact guy who buys one. So I get it. It makes a lot of sense.
If you want to be part of the screenwriting club, email me, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. It's just with GB and I. You have to submit a piece of writing. Is that okay?
It's just us at the moment. And I haven't actually written anything, but I'm pumped about it. Are you into screenwriting at all?
I suck at screenwriting. I like to take someone else's ideas and work with them on it because I can't write. Like I have ideas and I'll explain it to a writer and then hopefully they understand me. But yeah, I suck at screenwriting. I find it so hard.
What's the hard bit? Like
putting it on the page.
Well, get a tactile keyboard, that'll do.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to change anything, to be honest.
Is it so when you're doing like the it's not screenwriting, but it's sort of like you're working out the fundamentals of a video or sort of like the flow of the video. Where are you storing that or what are you writing that down on?
It just depends. Like most of the time I'm using like Notion. And then I'm using just like notes on the iPad and stuff like that. Or I'll take something that someone's written and I'll bring it into like Notability on the iPad. And because I got the pen, I can go in and like mark stuff and
that's cool.
Make notations and stuff like that. So that's really good. But a lot of the time it's just when it comes to like something like a live session, there's obviously not a lot of scripts. So it is a lot of pre-production, but it's a lot of like tactile stuff, like who's going to be there on the day, what's happening. So mainly we're just working in call sheets and shot lists. And I find those a lot easier to like kind of help portray whatever.
Any storyboarding and stuff?
It depends on the type of live session we're doing. So we did one with Coastal Blackouts Rolling Coastal Blackouts, Coastal Fever. I don't know. Their name is so confusing. but we knew that we wanted to do something slightly different. So we actually did a bit of a shot list and storyboard for that because we knew that we wanted to shoot. We shot the song about 8-9 times. And then we bring it all together with one single track at the end. And that helped us storyboarding because to help portray it to the art directors and stuff like that, I need a visual medium for them to go off. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. And when it comes to things like, I mean, you're around like playing on the guitar and all that sort of stuff. Are you writing any songs? Like your bro Dan, he's into his writing, just like raps and stuff.
Yeah. I don't write at all. Like, this is the thing. I can't even write a song. Like, the most writing I'll do is I'll go live on Instagram and like make up country songs like on the spot. But it's nothing special. Whereas my brother's been writing music now for almost like 7 years. So he's just like tuned into doing that and he's so equipped with the process. Whereas I just like I couldn't. Fuck, I couldn't string together a paragraph about what I'm doing tonight. So, yeah.
I mean, you're quite in like, would you say you're involved with the music scene in Melbourne? Like, you know a fair few musicians.
Most, I think more than most. I grew up with a lot of musicians and being a musician myself, I tend to like gravitate towards other musicians and what they do. So yeah, I'd say I'm more involved than most.
I got a message actually recently from someone who knew you.
Yeah.
Lewis. Can't say his last name. Cal. He was on The Voice.
Oh, Lewis.
Capaldi.
Cavalli. Actually, I emailed him yesterday. Yeah. He's actually, my brother's on one of his tracks coming out soon.
Oh, great.
What did he message you about?
He actually messaged me saying like, oh man, I'm loving the daily talk show stuff and like, and I know Hayden
did. No shit.
Happens a lot. A lot of people know.
It's a good little flex.
That's nice. Yeah, it is. I'm Lebanese as well, so that kind of helps spread the word.
But yeah, I love your Instagram songs when you play live on Instagram and stuff like that. I've tuned in a few times and requested a couple.
Always
Pete Murray. Yeah, and that actually brings us to another snippet here, which I'll play now.
For me, Pete Murray's track Opportunity, I have been playing non-stop all week, and I'd love for him to do it live on the show one day. Pete Murray is in the building.
If you want to hear a song, I think you guys want to hear a song or something.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
I'll give you two choices. I can play Feeler or I can play Opportunity.
Wait. Opportunity, please.
Hold on now, your exit's is waiting just for you. Don't pass too long, it's fading. It's just not too soon. We'll see. Sing harmonies anytime, guys. Maybe you want to come in.
Well, I was waiting for the permission.
That was a nice moment. That was,
it was a very nice moment.
Pete Murray live during our 24-hour show. But that whole idea came from, I mean, as you heard, Josh talked about how he plays Pete Murray all the time and he'd love for him to do it live on the show one day. I guess that was like my first bit of producing on the show, first and only. But when Josh said that, I didn't actually think much of it. And then I put it in a Hump Day Replay video like the next week. And the only reason I did that was because you played it on Instagram or you sent it around on Facebook or something like that.
I don't even remember doing it. I'd played it so many times on Instagram.
I know. So if you didn't do that, Hayden,
it wouldn't have happened.
I mean,
you could take full credit.
You're welcome.
So when you play those songs, like you on Insta stories, how do you know like the chords and things? Like, are you reading that off a doc or is that literally in your head and you just...
I've been playing for like 15 years. So like that one of Pete Murray's, that song by Pete Murray, I've known for ages. Like, and sometimes I have to like refresh my memory and I'll go check out the chords. But most of the time I'm either just like, it takes me like 10 minutes to kind of work out what it is. But if it's a new song, I have to like obviously do my research. I can only work out so much from here, from listening. So yeah.
All right.
What about like when you're working, what do you listen to?
It depends. I am a massive country music fan. Like
really?
Oh, like massive country music. Like people think I'm joking.
Who's your favorite country music artist?
Luke Bryan.
Okay.
No, Luke Combs. Luke Combs.
Jess was quick. Jess picked
what'd
up
you say,
on that.
What did you say, Jess?
I said Shania Twain.
Shania Twain.
I was just not hoping you'd say Nicole Kidman's husband. What's his name again?
Keith Urban.
Yeah. Love country music.
What about that song? It's like, I'm going to take my horse to the
hotel. Oh, yeah, Lil Nas.
That's not really country, though. Yes, so it I'm is. A little bit. No, it's not really. Just because it's got Billy Ray Cyrus in it doesn't mean it's country.
didn't he write that song, like download a preset, like a sample pack online or something for like $19?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, what happened.
The way that song became so big is really interesting. He is really well equipped in like SEO and stuff like that. So he did some really cool stuff to make it go viral. There's like a whole video on it on YouTube, him talking about like he made that song to go viral and then did all the things you need to do to make it go viral. And
like what? What do you have to do?
It was through SoundCloud and Instagram and at the time I think Musical.ly, which is now TikTok. So he was like, he was very like on it when it came to getting that song.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So
what do you love about country music then?
It's just can't explain it. It's just got heart. It's got soul.
It's the twang, isn't it?
And it's also just so simple. They're not like, there's no hidden messages. They're singing about trucks. They're singing about beer. And they're singing about girls in Daisy Dukes. That is it. There's no hidden messages. It's straight to the point. And that's why I love it.
You've got all your lanyards there from like festivals and stuff.
Yeah.
Are there any, are you going to like country festivals? Is that a thing?
Never been to a country festival. Surprisingly enough, there's not a lot that happens in Melbourne. So, country music isn't too big. A lot of the country music I listen to is like American country. So, none of those artists are touring Melbourne anytime soon.
What are you doing at the music festival? Are you shooting?
Yeah. So, a lot of the times I'm either in the photography team or I'm on the video team. Actually, you know what? I'll grab the lanyards. Give me one sec.
Okay, great. Okay, great. I mean, he does have so many of them. It's actually outrageous.
I should
tell him about festival. The Port Fairy Folk Festival because there's country music there.
Really?
Yep. And really? It's the time of my life.
Oh, my. Yeah, you've got heaps.
I forget. So we've got.
Oh, there's Splendor.
That's the Red Room with Rita Ora and Rudimental.
Nova Red Room.
Yep. And then I've got St. Kilda Festival, Brunswick Music Festival. That was no idea. That Splendor in the Grass. That's the day I met Bernard Fanning.
Which really?
Yes.
Like, yep. A lot of like local, like different, like individual artists. Look at that mugshot.
Oh my.
Can't believe they let that bloke into the stadium. And then this is from when I was in London. I got to go to the Chelsea Football Club.
Yeah, that's great.
Season pass. Star Wars premiere. I'm trying to find my favorite one would have to be.
And there's so many there. It's
Beyond the Valley. Beyond the Valley is ones that I'm super proud of because I was like working with the video team and the photography team. And then obviously I've got Ability Fest, which I was the head of video production for that one as well. So
So cool.
I can't believe I was involved with festivals heaps back in pretty much from 2014 to 2018, I reckon, 2019.
That was probably when I was most involved as well.
Yeah. I can't believe we didn't run into each other.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I was more doing like the techno ones, like dorks and stuff.
I mean, maybe we did. We just never like, we didn't have a reason to look out for each other at that time. So
Rainbow Serpent. Do you ever go to Rainbow Serpent?
I got offered once and I was like, they were like, I can give you a free ticket, but it's not paid. I was like, I can't put myself through that for no money.
That's classic. Yeah. That's pretty much how they pay everyone.
Yeah.
it's free. Free ticket. It's like tickets free ticket. Like $300 and you're working like 12 hours a day.
And you get to sleep in a tent and sweat your ass off for fucking 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't sound appealing.
It doesn't. It's, I mean, Mace, you haven't been to any festivals. Are you keen to go to when they're back open? Would you go?
Nah. I don't know if it's
We should all take him. I'll be your your Sherman, whatever I need to be. We'll do a bunch of drugs. You'll love it.
Sherman. I don't understand the appeal. Like I couldn't think of anything worse than the music that's played. Don't even know anyone who's there. You know, like the artist playing, never heard of them. People, you know, it's all dusty. You're camping in tents. Like you're shitting in portaloos. Like it's, I couldn't think of anything worse.
It's all about the stories that you come back with, Mace. It's like, I remember the first festival I ever went to was Beyond the Valley. I was working, fresh 18, first festival. It was just debaucherous. Like I didn't shower for 4 days. Oh, it was 40 degrees. Yeah. There was dust, and I'd wake up every morning and my tent would be all like the condensation would just drench me. Yeah. There was like a helicopter flying out at like 8 a.m. because someone had overdosed. Like it was just like, it's such a, you come back with very good stories.
No, Mace, don't go. I hate festivals.
Are you not into me, Jess?
I love live music is one of my favorite things to do ever, but also gigs and like more chill festivals. So like the Port Fairy Folk Festival, which I mentioned before, it's just chill. Like you're not up against different people. I just hate when people touch me. Like I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I like being in the pit. Yeah. I can't do crowds.
No.
I'm just like, since I've started getting like AAA passes and stuff, I just cannot go into a mosh pit or go to a gig unless I'm shooting it. Like it's really bad. So
the other, I also don't like that you can't escape. Like you can't just run anywhere, like you know, get away from things.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like it's just you feel trapped,
and it's so easy to lose everyone too.
Go to day festivals, Mace. Not like 3 day, like not camping festivals. They're the fucking, they're the ones that you need to watch out for.
I mean, Burning Man's going digital this year. They like, I read an article.
They just didn't they already do it like yesterday or the day before?
I don't know. Is it happening now?
Why would they do it on Monday?
Yeah, because my housemate's been to Burning Man and she spent the whole day watching like the digital Burning Man and I didn't see her all day.
It was a whole like virtual experience. Like it was meant to be like real dialed in terms of like the tech and stuff they were using.
There's been a lot of like live shows on TikTok and stuff. Like The Weeknd did a live show on TikTok, which is like insane, and like he was performing.
How does that work? How long can a TikTok video go for?
Might have opened it up just for him.
They open it up for certain people.
Also, like there's been so much stuff on like Fortnite, like artists and stuff doing actual
live shows and
live Fortnite, performances in the game in Fortnite.
I mean, they're not actually doing a live performance, but it's pretty crazy like how they do it.
That's outrageous.
Mm. Yeah, right. Well, the other thing that's crazy, Hayden, is you getting a tattoo. Mm-hmm. Of the Daily Talk Show logo.
Can't have me on the pod and not talk about that.
No, just before we finish up, I think it's you know, we need to talk about this.
It's on the back of my arm.
Well, I thought they were going forearm.
No.
Off stage. This is bullshit. Okay, here we go. No, I'm really
no, hang on. Let's have a look.
Right. Here we go.
And when you see it, you need to
Is there going to be glad wrap?
No, I got to take the glad wrap.
Okay, here we go.
Oh,
my goodness.
It's a lot bigger than
Oh, my goodness. That's huge. Yeah.
It actually took 35 minutes just to shave me.
That is.
What a joker.
It's a joker.
How's it feeling?
That's awesome.
Oh, it's good. The best part, I got it in somewhere where I can't see it and you know, remember that decision I had to make. There it is.
It's solid.
Yeah, like
it's
great.
It's a big tattoo.
It's fucking like it's so much bigger because what happened was on the day when we were getting it, because the logo is like so like everything's so close together, to get it smaller would have been harder to like show.
Oh, for the text.
So we had to go bigger. But I'm glad I got it somewhere where I don't have to see it every day.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Sorry, Mace.
Go for it, Jess.
Do you regret it?
No, I don't regret it. I think like if I regret that tattoo, I have to regret all of my tattoos because it's like in the moment, what did that tattoo allow me to experience? It was like I got to, you know, spend time with like good friends and it'd be part of something a bit bigger. So I don't regret it at all. It's just like that's why I got it on the back of my arm. So I don't I don't even have the chance to look at it and regret it. So
Do you have any regrettable tattoos, Jess, or any tattoos?
I don't have any tattoos because I will regret them.
Really? You won't. This is a massive misconception about tattoos. You won't regret them. And if you want, get it lasered off. It's like not a big deal.
Yeah. Do you know anyone who's had that done?
I know a few people. My mum.
Apparently it kills.
What happened was my mum was getting a tattoo and the tattoo artist fell asleep while doing the tattoo. And she didn't realize. And then she she had to wake him up. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? So she had to go to another tattoo artist and get something bigger over the top of it to cover it up. God. Like it was pretty fucked up. Yeah.
Wait, that's how ridiculous. Did he fall asleep? Was he what's that word? It's like narcolepsy or something. Is that right?
I have no idea. But my mom's like, he was falling asleep while I was doing.
That's weird.
That's unbelievable.
No, I think he was just tired.
Big day.
Big night.
I mean, it
was big day.
We've had the discussion around getting the Daily Talk Show tattoo. I said I'd get it after 10 years. and not to the extent that you've done, Dib, but I reckon, I don't know where I'd get it, potentially like the forearm or something like that, or potentially like the ankle, but a small, I don't know. Well,
you should get it as a tramp stamp. Get it as a tramp stamp.
A celebration of the show. Just like something that's like a nice little, it could be like on the bicep, just like here. Mm. I think that'd be nice.
I would definitely do that.
What about a big
microphone? I'll do one for hump day.
Really?
Just, you just got to let me know when and when I'm allowed to, and you pay for it.
Episode 500, where you do one.
Episode 5. I'll do one for every single show the big media company does that hits 500.
Okay. All right. Ooh, no, that's good. Okay. I love that. Okay. That's weird.
We'll have to let Tony and Tully know as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the other podcast.
So, wait, what would George's hump day logo be? Like,
just my head.
Get his face? Or?
I'd get the mustache and the teeth. Just that part.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd get it on the back of my head. So, when I grow hair. And you shave it off, it's just George's face.
Yes. Yes. Are you bald at the moment?
I am. I just shaved my head today.
Yeah. It looks great. You got a great shaved head.
Yeah. I was looking pretty ragged for a while.
Is it just see, this is what is it, what sort of shaver is, are you using a, is there any guard on that, or are you just?
No, just a clipper. Just going straight off.
Okay. Same one you'd use on your beard?
Yeah, and then I add the little height adjustment, and then I just trim my beard.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Oh, mate, jealous. Jealous of your hair growing abilities.
What are you talking about?
Mustache is glorious. I know. You have great hair.
No, facial.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Terrible.
You've got where it matters. That mustache is solid.
The mo is great.
The mo is great.
Thanks, guys.
Defining feature.
Well, Hayden, thanks so much for coming on Hump Day Replay today. You've helped out with big media companies so much over the last couple of years in the Daily Talk Show.
You were there at the bleaching.
The bleaching.
I was, I've been there.
A live show. You've done a lot. And you've got a
got
tattoo.
Got the tattoo.
And, you've introduced us to some great people like Jess.
Yeah, so. Jess. Jess still owes me my bonus for getting her a job.
Finder's fee.
Finder's fee.
I feel like that's you're going to have to take that out with Josh and tell me.
I will. If I have to come on the show and just blast you because I need that
my
money.
Finder's fee.
I need that finder's fee. Like today, actually, I'm pretty broke. Photographers aren't allowed to work. So
that's a downer, isn't it?
Love ending a podcast on a downer.
Yeah, good way to end.
Good way to end it.
Yeah.
Nah, you're right, we'll just thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Find Hayden on Instagram at Hayden Dib, and you can follow Hump Day Replay on Instagram too. Catch you later, guys.